Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So we're going to begin in the book of 2 Kings and chapter 6, please. And get rid of this for right now. This is kind of one of those fun New Old Testament stories with a lot that we can learn. Some real important lessons embedded in the scripture. And I'm going to read from verse 8, I think down through like 23. It says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants, and he said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' So he said, 'Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him.' And so it was told him, saying, 'Surely he is in Dothan.' Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was the army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Strike this people, I pray, with blindness.' Now Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.' But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, 'Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see.' And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and they were inside Samaria. And when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, 'My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?' But he answered, 'You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master.' Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent away and they went to their master. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more to the land of Israel." Isn't that a great story? Don't you do a couple of like, huh, in that story, right? There's a couple of things that you kind of, it's like, this just doesn't follow the pattern that we would expect, right? So the first thing, I have three or maybe four points here. And the first one is when it says one of his servants says, so it starts with the king, the Syrian king, saying we're going to go to this place and then we're going to be able to ambush the Israeli army. And the prophet went to the king of Israel and tipped him off about this going to this thing was going to happen. And so the Syrian king was perplexed and wanted to know how was it. He felt he must have had a traitor in his own company. And his servant said to him, one of his servants said, no, none, my lord, there's no traitor here. But Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. You know what? Hopefully what we're going to end up with today is this sense of God's omnipresence, this sense of really God being everywhere, this sense of there's nothing that you ever do or ever say that is outside the realm of his conscious knowledge. And it's these are important things. His omnipresence is, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, but it's hard for us to walk in it moment by moment, understanding that the idle words that we speak. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus says this, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give account for it in the day of judgment. You know, we're big on privacy in the United States. You know, it's like one of our rights and everything, the right to privacy. But I hate to tell you, it's just not true. You know, it's not like the U.S. government is listening, you know, the people with the aluminum foil around their heads and, you know, they're afraid the government conspiracy. Well, there's a bigger conspiracy than that. The fact is that God is recording everything and is conscious of every idle word we ever speak. The most important skill set for a Christian is the control of your tongue. The most important skill set of a Christian is the control of your tongue. Because if you can control your tongue, you can control everything. You can control everything in your body. And you don't have a lot of idle words that really stop sometimes the flow of blessing from getting to you. Because you can say, I believe in God and I trust in God and I know his blessing is coming. But every time you stub your toe, you're going off like a sewer spewing or magma spewing from a volcano or something like that. I have to tell you, God is aware of all the words, the ones you say in public and the ones you say in private. And the prophet is saying to you, listen, the prophet of God, well, you don't need it. There's no traitor here. Because the prophet of God, the words that you speak in your bedroom, he speaks. He knows. Isn't that amazing? Would we like to become more conscious of God in every moment of our lives? Would we like to literally become conscious of him, understanding that he's with us in every fragile moment? And Jesus said this to encourage your faith in Matthew 6:6. Jesus said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You know, Jesus was very upset with the Pharisees because they had fancy outfits that they would wear and they would go in public and praying before the people. He'd say, you guys are just showboats. You don't even mean that. And Jesus said, real faith functions this way, that you have enough trust in God, that you pray in secret and he rewards you openly. That you have trust in God, that you pray in secret and he rewards you openly. When you see somebody who's been rewarded in life openly, and you see a believer who's been rewarded in life openly, you'll know that somebody's been praying in the secret place. So the Syrian king gets really mad He says, we're going to send an army down, and we're going to take care of this prophet guy. And so he sends a huge army down, chariots and horses, and they surround the city of Dothan. It says they sent horses and chariots and a great army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city, chariots, and the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Ever wake up that day when you're surrounded? You know? You know, you're rolling along, your Christian life is rolling well, all of a sudden you're surrounded. There doesn't seem to be any answers to your circumstance, your situation. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The other thing that, you know, so number one, the secret place prayer. Number two, having the confidence that God's power is more than sufficient. That there's more power of God than there is of the devil. There's more power of God than there is of the community, human beings, armies, people, presidents, whatever things that you think stand in your way. That literally when you're in God's will, there's always more power to deliver you, to bless you, to bring you miracles, to bring you protection. There's unlimited amount of power that God has. And learning to walk in that knowledge, learning to walk in, listen, here's a couple of things. I don't know if you know this or not. God wants good for you. You know what? The stuff that besets you, the stuff that's an obstacle for you. Jesus said, say unto a mountain. The mountain is, it does a number of things, mountain. Probably can't even climb over it. Most of all, you can't see through it. A mountain obstructs your view. You can't have vision if there's a mountain in the way. And sometimes a mountain is a person in your life. Sometimes a mountain is your own mind. You literally can't see beyond the wall of that, you know. Some people are just visionless. They don't know, what do I want to be when I grow up? What am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? And these mountains get in our way. Lord, I know that you've called me to be successful in some area of life, but there are mountains in my way. I cannot see how to get there. You see, but there are more for us than against us. And God's power is more than able to set you in an open place to bring you to your vision. God is a God of miracles. God becomes greater the more you receive miracles from him, because then you got to brag about him. We can either brag by faith saying, yeah, I'm going to heaven one day, or I can brag by witness because God has answered my prayer. My faith says I'm going to heaven someday. Yes, sir, I'm on that train for sure. Absolutely. But I'm going to tell you, I'm a person who's experienced the power of God in the land of the living. Because I've prayed prayers in the secret place and he's answered them. And there's no other human explanation for some of the good things that he's done other than the fact that I prayed for them. And I say he's alive. And I say that those are for us are more than those are for them. But you can't, it's hard to believe that. You know, it's hard to believe that because it's the invisible army. Lord, open his eyes. This is when Peter is freed from prison in the book of Acts. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers and guards before the door. Before this, it says that four squads of soldiers were put on Peter to keep him in the prison. And it says, now behold, the angel of the Lord stood by him. This is Peter now. It says, Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. You know, those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And I will tell you that when we come into the kingdom of God, and even some of us who have walked in the kingdom of God are in chains. What are chains? Chains are things that bind you to a mindset. Chains bind you to a place. Chains bind you to many, many things. Chains are sins you can't see your way clear from, and they are just as solid as a physical chain. And you see that they were having a prayer meeting. They were praying for Peter to be released, you know, and the angel came, struck him on the side, and the first thing that happened is his chains fell off. That every chain represented in this room would fall off. It would be the happiest day I'll ever live in my entire life. That everyone's chains would fall off. We become self-destructive. Usually, a lot of times, we put the chains on ourselves. And then sometimes there are family members or people we work with or people in our lives that have put us, Renard likes to use the term pigeonhole us into a place where people keep us in their mind in a particular mode. And we just don't have the willpower to grow out of that and become ourselves because of these chains that bind us. Chains of addiction, chains of behavior, chains of abuse, verbal abuse, so many things. Okay, he says, "Arise quickly," and the chains fell off his hand. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him and did not know what was being done by the angel, that it was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. There's a couple of times in the scripture that this happens. You know, Paul the apostle, he testifies of being caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. And it reminds me of when you're captivated in the Spirit of God, you become less conscious of your physical moaning and groaning and needs and the things that we, appetites and so on and so forth. You know, it's like when Adam eats of the fruit, the forbidden fruit, and first thing he does is, you know, he becomes aware of his flesh. God said to him, "Who told you you were naked?" He said, "I hid because I was naked." God said, "Who told you you were naked?" Because when he was connected with God in a righteous way, he didn't even really consider his flesh. Can you imagine living probably years and not even really realizing what he looked like because he was so consumed with the love and the life of God? And as soon as he broke from God and sinned, what happened? He recognized his nakedness. So in Peter, when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. So he gets this deliverance from God, and all I'm trying to say is that there are more for us than are against us. That mountain filled with fiery chariots that Elisha opened the eyes of his servants to see, that same mountain of fiery chariots is here waiting to do God's bidding now to protect his own. Does that make sense? You have so much power available to you if you'll only believe. Jesus said, "All things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. There's nothing that's not possible. And so our expectations, when we keep them on a lower level, God meets us there. We have low expectations, we get low results. We have high expectations, and you're that secret place prayer, and you learn that God wants to literally move mountains for you. It's wonderful. My third point is that, down in verse So Elisha prayed. This is, do not fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he can see. The Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Syrians came down, Elisha prayed and said to the Lord, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. Now Elisha said to them, no, this is not the way, nor this is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And so the blindness that God, you know, actually Jesus is pretty plain about this, but blindness is what is the infliction or the affliction of unbelievers, is blindness. Unbelievers are blind. Because if people can see, they can see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Blindness is a part of your heart that can't see in a faith direction to move you into where you need to be. Blindness is the affliction of unbelief. It says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You see, when you're in darkness, you can't see, you can't comprehend. And to go with that, John 3, Jesus said this, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. He who does not believe is already condemned. He who has not believed is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So what we see in the story of Elisha is he strikes them with blindness, but then he's leading them, the images that he's leading them to a place of salvation. He's actually not going to destroy them. The end of the story is really pretty amazing, because this army came down to take Elisha and kill him, and Elisha strikes them with blindness. And really the word says that the world has been struck with a blindness. And the blindness is that you can't comprehend Jesus Christ. That's the blindness of men, that you can't comprehend Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't make sense to you. You don't really like the gospel very much. It doesn't make sense to you. The Bible says, Jesus says, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men have loved the darkness more than the light, rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. I like my evil deeds more than I like coming to the light that's going to release me from my evil deeds, or is going to convict me of my evil deeds. And to the degree that we stay or we become stubborn in our evil deeds, will be the degree that we won't be able to see Jesus within the landscape of life. Bible, Jesus said that blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. And it's our evil deeds and our love of evil deeds that keep us from seeing God. Now, not that we're perfect, but repentance is that act of saying, I really prefer to be right with God. I want to see. So even among Christian people, we're blind to the degree that we cling to our evil deeds rather than forsaking them for the sake of more light. And the more light you have, the more the fullness of Jesus that dwells in you, the more you're able to love, the more you're able to live in the satisfaction that only Jesus can bring. Amen? Finally, number four. So the story is that Elisha leads them to Samaria, and then the king of Israel says, shall I kill him? Remember, shall I kill him? Shall I kill him? Right? It's like, we want to kill all the bad guys. And And what does Elisha say? No, feed them. The guy, their eyes were open. Okay, you get saved. We realize God should, you know, we're all in the same boat. Yeah, ain't nobody any better, any worse. We're all in the same boat. We were on the same train, right? Same train to hell. Every one of us were on the same train to hell. Every one of us. Not one of us that wasn't on that train. And at some point in time, we get enough of God's grace in our blindness that he leads us to this place and then feeds us and loves on us. And it says that army all disbanded and they didn't come and attack Israel anymore. You see? It's our life. Opportunity you have in Jesus is immeasurable. And don't say you're too old. Because Abraham was old. He was 100 years old when he started his ministry. Don't say you're too young. Because Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm but a child. God says, don't say I'm but a child. Moses said, I stutter. I can't talk good. God said, go, take your staff. That'll do. I'll have your brother speak for you. Gideon says, Lord, I come from the least tribe in Israel, and my father's clan is the least in the tribe. I come from the wrong side of the tracks. Right? God doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, how good you are, how bad you are. Man, we have got some rearranging of our emotional furniture to do. We got to come back around to being people of raw faith. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen.
Hello, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a message today titled, That We Would See, a dive into 2 Kings chapter 6. Pastor Bob showed us how this passage points to our salvation we have in Christ, that we are blind to Jesus until we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Maybe you have been trying to figure out what life is all about, and the Holy Spirit has used this message to show you that what you need is Jesus at the center of your life. If that's you, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am far from you. I repent of my sinful ways and turn into a life with you today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would fill me with your power. Jesus, I believe that you lived, you died on a cross for my sins, and 3 days later, conquered death, sin, and the grave so that I could have eternal life with you. God, I thank you for sending Jesus as a sacrifice for my sins. I place my life completely in your hands today and walk forward into my life as a new creation. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York, on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center. If you would like to find out more information about Catskill Mountain Christian Center or financially support the work of On Fire Radio, you can go to www.cmcconline.org. You can also find us on Facebook and tune in Wednesday nights for our Wednesday night Facebook Live service, Going Deeper with Pastor Bob Engelhart. On behalf of Pastor Bob, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.